Although there was no fault on the part of Bhali Maharaj, Vadataha, because of your order, Bhuman, O Supreme, Kurishyami,
I must execute
Anushasanam, because it is your order. Etat,
this is
Shriyaha, that which is the most auspicious. Param,
Supreme.
Humsam, of all persons. Yat, because. Tava agya anupalana, to obey your order. So translation, and of course this is Shukracharya speaking at this point. Lord Vishnu, I must nonetheless act in obedience to your order, because obeying your order is most auspicious and is the first duty of everyone. So there is no purport to this text, nor the next few texts. So we're going to keep reading until we get to a purport. So text 18. Shri Shukuvacha Patinam Yagarayam Ushanava Vanite Yagya Chedram Samahvato Valer Viparshibi Saha. Shukadeva Goswami continued. In this way, the most powerful Shukracharya accepted the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full respect. Along with the best brahmanas, he began to compensate for the discrepancies in the sacrifices performed by Bhali Maharaj. Text 19. Evam Baler Vakim Rajan Vikshut Vavamadhohari Vidavratre Mahendraya Atridivam Yat. O King Parikshit, thus having taken all the land of Bhali Maharaj by begging the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vamanadeva delivered to his brother Indra all the land taken away by Indra's enemy. So text 20 to 21. Prajapati Patir Brahma Devarshir Pitra Bhumi Pahi Daksha Brigvangiro Mukyai Kumarena Bhavenacha Kasya Pashadite Prityai Sarva Bhuta Bhavayacha Lokanam Lokapalanam Akarod Vaman Nang Vatim. Lord Brahma, the master of King Daksha and all the Prajapatis, accompanied by all the demigods, the great saintly persons, the inhabitants of Pitriloka, the Madhus, the Munis, and such leaders as Daksha, Bhrigu, and Angira, as well as Kartikeya and Lord Shiva, accepted Lord Vamanadeva as the protector of everyone. He did this for the pleasure of Kashyapa Muni and his wife Aditi, and for the welfare of all the inhabitants of the universe, including their various leaders. So no purport to this either. A lot of verses without purports. Text 22 to 23. Vedanam Sarvadevanam Dharma shaya shasha shyaha mangalanam ratanam cha kalpam swarga bhavargayo upendram kapayam chukre patim sarva vibhutehe tadat sarvani bhutane Vishamumudireinripa. O King Parikshit, Indra was considered the king of all the universe. But the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, wanted Upendra, Lord Vamanadeva, as the protector of the Vedas. The principles of religion, fame, opulence, auspiciousness, vows, elevation to the higher planetary system, and liberation. Thus they accepted Upendra, Lord Vamanadeva, as the supreme master of everything. This decision made all living entities extremely happy. So of course, just to explain about the word Upendra. Upendra basically means like little Indra or younger Indra. You understand? In other words, he's a younger brother of Indra. So you can name any of your younger brothers with the prefix Up before. Like if you have a younger brother, Sumuk. Upasumuk. Upasumuk, that's not another word. Anyway, that's the Sanskrit. That's why it's called Upendra. So text 24. Tatas Twindra Puraskritya Deva Yane Navamanham Lokapaler Divam Ninye Brahmana Chanumoditaha. Thereafter, along with the leaders of the heavenly planets, Indra, the king of heaven, placed Lord Vamanadeva before him, and with the approval of Lord Brahma, brought him to the heavenly planet in a celestial airplane. Next text, 25. Prapya tribhuvanam chandra upendra bhuja patlitaha shriya paramaya justo Indra, king of heaven, being protected by the arms of Vamanadeva, the supreme personality of Godhead, thus regained his rule of the three worlds and was reinstated in his own position, supremely opulent, fearless, and fully satisfied. And then text 26-27. Brahma sarva kumarascha brigvadya muneho nirpa pitara sarva bhutani siddha vaimanikhas chaye sumahat karma tat vishnor kayanta paramat bhutam Nishyani sani te jagmur adittim cha shashasmire shashasmire. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Kartikeya, the great sage Bhrigu, other saintly persons, the inhabitants of Pitriloka, and all other living entities present, including the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, and living entities who travel in outer space by airplane, all glorified the uncommon activities of Lord Vamanadeva. O King, while chanting about and glorifying the Lord, they returned to their respective heavenly planets. They also praised the position of Aditi. Text 28. Sarvam metan mayakyatam bhavatat Kula Nandana Urukramasya Charatam Shatrindama Gamojanam. O Maharaj Parikshit, pleasure of your dynasty, I have now described to you everything about the wonderful activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva. Those who hear about this are certainly freed from all the results of sinful activities. And finally, text 29, which does have a purport. Param mahimna uruvikramato grano ya partivani vimane sa rajam simarchaha kim jayamana huta jata upaiti marcha Ijya hamantra dreg rishi purushasya yasya. One who is subject to death cannot measure the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Trivikram, Lord Vishnu, any more than he can count the number of atoms on the entire planet Earth. No one, whether born already or destined to take birth, is able to do this. This has been sung by the great sage Vasishtha. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Vasishtha Muni has given a mantra about Lord Vishnu. Ate Vishnur Jaya Manunna Jato Mahimna Paramanantamapa. No one can estimate the extent of the uncommonly glorious activities of Lord Vishnu. Unfortunately, there are so-called scientists who are subject to death at every moment, but are trying to understand by speculation the wonderful creation of this cosmos. This is a foolish attempt. Long, long ago, Vasishtha Muni said that no one in the past could measure the glories of the Lord, and that no one can do so in the future. One must simply be satisfied with seeing the glorious activities of the Supreme Lord's creation. The Lord therefore says in the Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter, text 42, Vistabhyaham idam kritsnam ekam chena sato jagat. With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. The material world consists of innumerable universes, each one full of innumerable planets, which are all considered to be products of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's material energy. Yet this is only one-fourth of God's creation. The other three-fourths of the creation constitute the spiritual world. Among the innumerable planets, in only one universe, the so-called scientists cannot understand even the moon and Mars, but they try to defy the creation of the Supreme Lord and His uncommon energy. Such men have been described as crazy. Nunam Ramatha Kurute Vikarma. That's from the Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, text 4. Such crazy men unnecessarily waste time, energy, and money in attempting to defy the glorious activities of Rupama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Om Yana Timidanda Shaganjana Shlokaya Chakshu Unmiditam Yena Tosvai Shaganaha. So, what we can gather from all this is that the Lord is Adbhuta. He's amazing. Just like we hear Adbhuta Shingam about Lord Nrisimhadev, isn't it? Amazing form. So if we think about all the Lord's opulence, of course in the 10th chapter of the Gita, that's called the opulence of the Absolute. And you have all these various opulences of Krishna listed. Like Krishna says, for example, of aquatics, I am the what? Nobody remembers? Not you, Gaudiya, but you know everything. What animal are you afraid of in the water? Shark! And of immovable things, I am what? Himalayas. You should remember this chapter. It's a very important chapter because the nutshell verses of the Gita are in this particular chapter. What are the nutshell verses of the Gita? Yeah. Very nice. I won't ask you for all. So this is a very important chapter. And Krishna is describing all these opulences of him. Of course, we're not Mayavadis. We do not think these opulences are Krishna. There's a difference. For example, if it says, it does say, in the Gita that of aquatics, I am the shark, therefore we do not take a deity of the shark and put it on our altar. We don't stick our heads in the shark's mouths as an offering to Krishna. We understand these are the vibhuti. In fact, it's called vibhuti yoga is the name of the chapter. The opulences of the Lord. They're the energies of the Lord. Prasya Shaktir Vividaya Vashurikite. Svabhavaka Jnana Bala Kriyacha. The Lord has multifarious energies. And these energies are one with and different from Him simultaneously. That is called what? What's the Sanskrit? Achincha Veda Aveda Tatva. That means it is inconceivable. Here we have this, like Advuta or Achincha. I mean, Advuta means wonderful, amazing, and Achincha means inconceivable. So, Achincha Veda Aveda. That, in other words, is different and non-different simultaneously, inconceivably. And that is our philosophy about the Lord and His energies. And also, the Lord's energies are so amazing, according to the Isopanishad, Om Purnamada Purnamida, that the Supreme Lord is perfectly complete, and He has all these perfectly complete energies that emanate from Him, and each of those energies is perfectly complete. Just like if we create something, or if we make something, we lose something generally, right? Like if you buy something, or you give something, you lose something. But when the Lord emanates something, He doesn't lose anything. So many energies, the threefold energies, Vishnu, Shakti, Para, Prakta, Shetrakya, Kyatata, Para, Vidyakarma, Sagyanya, Tritir, Shakti, Ishite. Krishna has three basic classifications of energies. Vishnu, Shakti, Para, Prakta, that is the spiritual energy, which is being described here as the three-quarters, Tripad Vibhuti. That means the three-quarters of the Lord's energies. And then there's the one-quarter, Vishnu Shakti Para Prakta, transcendental. Kshetragyakya Tata Para. Kshetragya, that's us, in case you haven't figured that out. Kshetragya, in this particular case, means the knower of the field. That's us. And we're also transcendental, but unfortunately, as Krishna says in this verse, avidya karma, sangyanya, chitir, shakti, ishite, that we are influenced by the third energy of the Supreme Lord, which is known as ignorant activities. Avidya karma, sangyanya, sakyanya, known as chitir, shakti, ishite. So these are the energies of the Supreme Personality of God, but the Supreme Lord, at the same time, He's so amazing. He's not diminished by His energies. And even more amazing than that, Galoka Ivindivashite Akilatma Bhuta. What does that mean? That Krishna is always there in Vrindavan, dancing with the gopis, and everything's happening without Him worrying about it. Pretty interesting. If you think about, we were talking about this yesterday in the car with Gargamuni. I think about how amazing Krishna is. He's dancing. I mean, who can manage all the universes, spiritual, material universes? Who can actually be in everyone's heart, aware of everything, and dance with his girlfriends at the same time? Just like there was a movie many years ago, and I'm not going to tell you the name of the movie because I don't want you to watch it. It's about a man who wanted to be God. So he applied for the position. And he got it. You know, God said, all right, you want to be God? You can be God for a day. So what happened, he started to hear everyone's prayers. I mean, that's pretty heavy. Imagine if you have billions and trillions and quadrillions of living entities praying to you, you know. Like we go, you know, there's a few people here that are praying, dear Krishna, you know, Samukha's praying, dear Krishna, give me money. And then everyone's doing Satchanarayan Katha, right? Satchanarayan Katha. And they're chanting Jaya Jagadisha Hari, all over the world, all over the universe. And God is hearing all these things simultaneously. I mean, just like yesterday, I was, during Prashadam, I was replying to two or three texts that I was getting during Prashadam. You know, it was all right. But could you imagine unlimited number of texts? You know, so it was all right. I could do two tags. You know, one person was saying, help me. Another person was saying, help me. So, okay, help you. Okay, eat pakora. Not pakora. You know, eat the food. And but God is that. So in this particular movie, you had this person, he was getting like all the prayers of everybody, and he was freaking out. Everything that had to be done, you know, the poor guy was having a nervous breakdown. And ultimately he had to go to God and said, you know, that's it, I don't want to be God. It was an interesting movie. I mean, if anyone's interested later, I can tell you the name, but not during class. So that's God. That he has to hear all these things. He's in everyone's heart, watching everything you do, and every atom watching what every atom is doing. Isn't it? He's the Sheikh Chargia. He's the knower of everything. He knows what you've been thinking, not only what you've been doing, what you see, like you're looking. I'm looking at all of you right now. And God is looking through my eyes. And seeing what I'm seeing. And he's seeing what Sumukh is seeing. He's seeing what everyone here is seeing. You're looking at me and God is looking at me with all these eyes. Isn't that amazing? I mean, if you actually think about it. And then he's maintaining the universes. And even as the Lord who actually manifests the universe, he's sleeping during the whole time. As the Mahavishnu. He's lying down in the yoga nidra. And Lakshmi is massaging his feet. Like all you men would like to have your wives do. But they don't do after you get married. So Lakshmi is massaging his feet. And he's resting, and he's breathing out, and everything's happening. Wow. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's not like the God that's depicted in other religions where he has to rest after 6 days of manifesting the universe. He has a Sabbath day. We say God never rests, and he's always resting simultaneously. He never rests and always rests simultaneously, and he's always dancing with the gopis. So this is the amazing thing. And that's what Krishna says in the 10th chapter of the Gita, that after he describes all these opulences, he says, what is the use of all this detailed knowledge? And actually Prabhupada quotes from part of that verse, 10:42, Vistabhyamidam Krishnam ekam shenas tato jagat. He said, without even trying or with a single fragment, you know, insignificant fragment, I'm doing all these things. And that's to evoke in Arjuna a sense of awe and reverence. Because if you look at the Bhagavad Gita is a very psychological text too, because Krishna is trying to convince Arjuna to listen to him. So right after the 10th chapter of the Gita comes something that's really heavy. What's that chapter? Anyone know? Sumukh, what's in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? Now let him answer. Yeah, he's asking me a question. Yes, it's a universal form. So we have the 10th chapter of the Gita where Krishna really tells Arjuna, I'm everything, I'm control, I'm unlimited. And then in the 11th chapter, Krishna actually shows Arjuna what it means. And therefore Arjuna is able to see all the planets, all the people rushing into the mouths of the universal form. And then Arjuna gets a good scare. So I better listen to Krishna now. Do you understand? Because if you can't be convinced by logic, then you have to have an experience. Or the Prabhupada said that an intelligent man learns by hearing. Someone who's not so intelligent learns by doing or seeing. So Arjuna, you know, basically, but in the 10th chapter, you know, he was pretty convinced. Because he says, what? Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitramidam Uttamam. Everybody knows that verse? That's a very important verse. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. You're the supreme Brahman. You're the supreme abode. Pabya, you're supreme pure. Idam uttamam, topmost. And then Arjuna actually gives Shastric reference for that too, which is very interesting. He says, Bahustvam Rishiak Sarve Devarshir Naradas Tata, because all the great sages have said to you. So he's backing up his what we call epistemology. In other words, how he knows what he knows. So this 10th and 11th chapter fit very much together. And then, after you finish the 10th and 11th chapter, what do you get into? What's the 12th chapter, Zimbabwe? Devotional service. It's interesting, isn't it? Devotional service. And in the beginning of the 12th chapter, Arjuna, because he has actually seen the universal form, he asks a very interesting question that's based upon his perception of the universal form and how Krishna is everything. He says, what is better? Or who is better? Sorry, who is better, isn't it? Those who meditate on the unmanifest, you know, whatever, or those who meditate on your personal form. It's interesting how the Gita follows. It's not just like verses that have no relationship to each other or chapters that have no relationship to each other. Arjuna asked that question. And Krishna then relates that, of course, that those who meditate on his personal form are better, but those who meditate on the impersonal, after some time, they'll come to the right understanding. And then in the 12th chapter, Krishna shows his compassion as far as the devotional service. He says, you know, basically you should always think of me. If you can't do that, then follow the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga. You know the 12th chapter? Very interesting chapter. And if you can't do that, then offer the results of your activities. You can't do that, you know, try to get a little detached. So the 12th chapter is about devotional service. So really, what I'm talking about here is that there's the philosophy in the 10th chapter of how Krishna is everything. He's maintaining everything with a single fragment of potency, of his potency, vibhuti. And then in the 11th chapter, Krishna shows how he's doing it. And in the 12th chapter, Krishna tells you what the goal of life is and how do you achieve the particular goal of life. So anyway, this is the Bhagavad Gita. So we hear about the opulences of the Lord because we need to be convinced that Krishna is God. We may think, I just want to hear about Krishna's Leela. You know, just why doesn't Guru Maharaj or Gurudev or whatever he's called just talk about the Rasa Leela stories about Vrindavan? Well, we need to understand all these things that are being described here. Krishna's amazing, he's wonderful, and once you've understood that, and once you become detached from the material world, then you can start to hear some Leela at that point. Just like there was someone asked me a question yesterday about some devotee who gives class. Is his classes Leela? Because he was trying to find fault. Does he give Leela classes or philosophical classes? You know, they were testing this devotee, you know, which remained nameless. And I said, philosophical! And he said, okay, he passed the test. Anyway, so we need to hear some philosophy sometime. But not only the philosophy, just the amazing display of opulences that the Lord gives in the 10th and 11th chapter of the Gita are very important to us. You know, all in reverence. Oh, Krishna's great. Because that will get us to follow the rules and regulations. Just like Shukracharya here, we referred to this in the previous day. The reason Shukracharya is glorifying Vishnu at this point is because he was overawed, scared, shocked to see Lord Vamanadeva's opulences. Otherwise, he was still envious. Remember I made that point? Shukracharya was still envious after this whole, because he has later encounters with the Lord that show his envy. But, you know, he's just like, wow, I better behave myself now. So we better behave ourselves because Krishna's watching us. Krishna's everywhere. He's controlling everything. You know, if you have someone watching you, people complain nowadays, at least, not in Fiji so much, but in other countries how they have these cameras everywhere. Like if you go to London, They have these cameras everywhere. There's like tens of thousands of cameras in every street corner in London. And so you can't do anything without the police seeing you. And they even have the newest technology. It's called face recognition. The computer recognizes. That's Sumukh! You don't even need a person, so the computer is a what? It's called artificial intelligence. So Krishna is doing all that. It's enough to make you behave yourself. Isn't it? You're thinking, if no devotee sees me, I can get away with it. So anyway, so this is one of the reasons for the display of Krishna's opulences. Or any questions or comments about these things? Yeah. And not to say, yeah. Yeah, because Krishna's glories are expanding exponentially at every minute. Even Krishna can't measure his own glories. They're expanding. As soon as you go to measure something, it's bigger. That's how wonderful Krishna is. That's a good point, Rupa Nuda. The Krishna gets better. Who gets better with time? We get worse with time. That is not our devotional service, but the body gets worse with time. But Krishna gets better with time. I mean, that's amazing. If you just think about God, he's so amazing. He's with you, he gets better with time, he sees everything, he controls everything, he loves everybody, he's everywhere through his energies. Amazing. The ninth chapter of the Gita. Isn't it? By me, in my unmanifested form, Krishna says, Mayatatamidam sarvam, I'm everywhere. Jagadavyakta, in the universe, avyakta, my unmanifest form. Murtinam means form, of course. Matstani sarvabhutane. I'm situated everywhere, but I'm not everywhere. That's also a Chinchaveda Beta Tat. Matstani sarvabhutane, aham teshva vastata. Anyway, very interesting. We have a wonderful philosophy. Yes, Rupa Nuda. Is that Rasa Vihari back there? Oh my God. What brings you to Dwarka? It's like Krishna leaving Vrindavan to go to Dwarka. So, what's the question? Yes. Prabhupada said only a handful of people knew that Krishna was God. Even Duryodhana, after he saw, you know, Krishna manifest his gigantic form, he still thought he could defeat Krishna in the battle of Kurukshetra. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita. For those who are envious, muda yom navijanati. For those who are envious of Krishna, they're covered. I mean, it's so obvious about God. Like Prabhupada mentions here, the scientists, they are so bewildered. I mean, I studied science. That was my field, actually. Nuclear physics. And I see how the scientists get more and more bewildered all the time by different theories. They come up with new theories, and then they discover new data that doesn't fit the theories, and they have to come up with another theory to fit the new data. It's called fudging it. So the scientists, moga, shamoga, karmana, they're bewildered. And actually, Prabhupada explains why they're bewildered in this purport. He says, he quotes from Lord Rishabhadeva in the fifth canto, Nunam Brahmata Kurite Vikarma. And actually, the second part of that verse is, Yadindriya Prita Aprinoti. Because they're attached to their own gratification. They consider their senses, including the subtle senses, the mind, intelligence, ego, whatever it is, to be very dear to them. They're proud. They're proud. And they will create, and they have created, terrible works that could destroy the world. That's the result of a lot of science. Of course, we have a lot of good things like mobile phones, good things, if you use it for Krishna. But they've created so many horrible things. I mean, the atom bombs, different weapons, and then the latest thing that the scientists are creating right now is something called artificial intelligence. You heard about this before? And that means some scientists will program a computer that will decide that you are irrelevant. You are interfering with the computer's functioning, and then finished. So many people are worried about that nowadays. How in the future the computers will become more intelligent than us. Of course, they're probably more intelligent now than most people anyway. And then we'll be finished. So that's Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga. And all these things are predicted anyway. People will be living underground, there won't be any food, people will be eating each other, so many things are predicted. And how it manifests, we'll have to see. But I definitely wouldn't want to be around here 50 years from now. Thank God I don't have to be, but some of you do. Good luck. Goodbye. I'm going back to Krishna. You can just stay here and enjoy. So, anyway, so the scientists, they're bewildered because of their desire to be, for their prestige, profit, adoration, distinction. Moga, shamoga, karmana. Namam duskritino mudha prapajante nuradama mayaya pratigyanam asuramavam bhavam ashrita. So, yes, they didn't understand that Krishna was God. They didn't understand that Ravana, of course, this was a pastime. Ravana didn't understand that Krishna, that Lord Ram was God. So, any other questions from anyone else? Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues? You got 2 more minutes. Must be Ari, you have a question? No? Upanuga, Sumuk, yeah. Inclination, disinclination, yeah. Well, according to your desire, you get specific intelligence and, of course, forgetfulness and remembrance. The Supersoul is reciprocating with you. So you become inclined or disinclined towards certain activities because of desire. Everything is based on desire. That's described in the 15th chapter of the Gita, where this whole reflection of the banyan tree, you know, reflecting on water with the branches going down, the roots going up, is actually based on desire. So you get rid of desire, nirmana moha jitta sangha dosha vyatma nicha vinivritta kama. Dvandvara vimuktar sugadugat sangyar gachant jimura paramavyam tat. That's Krishna's prescription in the 15th chapter of the Gita. He says, one who gives up this false prestige, one who gives up, gives up illusion, nirmana moha, jitta sangha dosha, gives up bad association. Because as we were talking about on Sunday, at the Sunday program, that our contamination of the modes of nature is due to guna sangha. Karnam guna sangasya sadasa janma jonishu. So jitta sangha dosha avyatma nitya, become established in the eternal eternality. Vrini vritta kama, giving up lust. In this way, vrini vritta kama, Vandvara, vimukta, liberated from the conceptions of duality, like sukha-dukha, sukha-dukha-samgyar. Gajanchamuda, the person who is not bewildered, but amadhyamta, can reach the supreme abode. Anyway, so, any other questions? I know a lot of philosophy today, not too much Leela, but...
Buddha is a normal man when they work hard.
Yeah.
And they need the rest.
Yes.
So in case of Mahavishnu, you have said that Mahavishnu is also resting. And
he's always resting. He doesn't work hard because Krishna's energies serve him. He just desires. For example, it's described in the Bhagavatam that there are different grades of servants. Like I have different grades of disciples. A first class disciple, which I haven't discovered yet, is one who knows the desire of the Guru, and he does what the Guru wants without the Guru asking. That's first class. If you find one, let me know. Second class disciple or servant, he does what the Guru or Master or whatever wants when he's asked. And he does it with a glad mood. Thank you very much, Guru Maharaj, for giving me an instruction. Third class is a lot more. Third class does what the Guru wants, but he hates it. Guru Maharaj says, you gotta wake up in the morning, go to Mangalore. And he said, oh God. I'll do it, but, you know, because I'm afraid of getting cursed by Guru Maharaj. That's a third class disciple. I got a whole list of them. So that's third class. And tenth class servant doesn't do. So there's a lot of tenth class people too. So therefore, Krishna, getting back to the point, Krishna's energies, you know, we're talking about Parashya Shakti, Vidhaivashu, you take. Krishna is up to kama, which means he desires something and it happens because his energy is a first class servant. He doesn't have to say to the material energy, hey Maya, I want you to torture Samuk a little bit more. You know, he needs to surrender. You know, twist his arm behind his back. Give him this disease, you know. It's not that Krishna has to do that, you know. Let him get dengue and then he'll get a little detached. No. But Maya, knowing Krishna's desire, does all these things. So that's why Krishna can rest. He can rest and then the whole business is taken care of. And he has servants too. In addition to his energies, he has servants like Lord Brahma. And then, you know, sometimes Krishna comes down to the material world. I understand that. But that's his lila. He doesn't have to come down. You know, we hear the description in the Gita, Paritranaya Sadunam Vinashaya Chadushkadam. Krishna comes down to destroy the miscreants, establish religious principles, protect the devotees. Krishna doesn't have to do that stuff. His energies are perfectly capable of doing that. But Krishna comes down because he likes to do certain things that he doesn't do in the spiritual world. There's indirect rasas. You understand? There's seven indirect rasas. There's five direct rasas, you know, like indirect means like shock, humor. Well, humor is there also there in the spiritual world. Ghastliness, chivalry, you know, so Krishna enjoys those things. Just like if you're home, I'll use this example. Let's say you're home with your wife, right? And you have this desire to have some competition, a fight. Don't do it with your wife. You go out. You leave your home. And you play a soccer game. And then you have some competition. But don't play a soccer game with your wife. So in the same way, Krishna's in the spiritual world. And he really has a desire, you know, to have some like really knock-down, drag-out fight. Chivalrous fight with his devotee. And so he tells his devotee or arranges his devotee to get cursed and come down to the material world. You see so many examples like the Tulsi Shalagram Vivaha story, right? Where Krishna's cowherd boy was cursed to come down to the material world. Shankachuda. And, you know, Tulsi came down to the material world, right? And then Tulsi basically cursed Vishnu to become a Shalagram Shila. And then you have Vishnu, Benedictine Tulsi become, you know, Tulsi Devi, and also the river. And so Krishna enjoys these things. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't have to come down. And he doesn't have to, his devotees don't have to come down, but Krishna's, they'd like to do that for Krishna. But otherwise, Krishna's energies are perfectly capable of killing anybody and everybody. No need for Krishna. But Krishna comes down because he enjoys. Why not? You enjoy playing soccer, or what game do you play? Rugby? Like, you, even Ras Bihari plays soccer, right? He takes all the devotees out after the program and they all play soccer together. And it builds a team. So Krishna says to his coward boys, okay team, let's go to the material world and have some pastimes. There's a team. And they like to do that. It's not that Jayant Vijay complained afterwards that they had to take birth in the material world, because they were happy to have served the Lord in that way. Not that they submitted a complaint to the complaint department, or they couldn't have the complaint department. Why did we have to go down the material world? No, we were serving Krishna. So a devotee is willing to serve Krishna in any condition. Krishna, you may crush me by your embrace. Krishna, you may leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You're completely free to do anything and everything and remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. Okay, we have to end it now. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, we got Gopal, Pranath, Bhagavat, Draupadi, Vinani Vas. Wow. Dinanivas from Croatia, Nitai Prem, Krishna Chaitanya, Janaki Ram, Malini, Margaret, Bhagavat, Radhakaruna, and Sachimata. Welcome. Now you see the deities. Jai Shishi Gornatai. Sing to. And Pranath. Pranath Pakoti Kamaniya Vishesha Soba Govinda Jai Radhakala Bihari Ki Jai. Jami Angani Asa Sakalandriya Dreeti Manti Shanti Pan Kayanti Chiram Jaganti Angana Chimaya Sadhu Jala.